in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. Just look at your neighbor to your right, to your left. Say, welcome to the grand finale of Occupy Till I Come Apostolic Teaching Series. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about today. You know, they say, now bottom pot, the sweet pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a very crucial, very critical, very important teaching series. Hallelujah. You know, every time we gather like this for glory service, we gather to worship our King, our Maker, we gather for fellowship, we gather for education. Spiritual education, mental education. We come to be enlightened, for enlightenment. This is also a platform for our equipping, for us to be equipped for kingdom service, and also for supernatural empowerment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Occupy Till I Come, part 4. I would like to recommend, in case you missed any of the teaching series from part 1 to 3, you can get it from our Telegram channel, AGMI Telegram channel. All you need to do is to just search Avalanche of Glory Ministries International on Telegram and just join the Telegram channel. You can access all our messages, including the part 1 to 3. If you don't have Telegram channel on your smartphone, Android, you can just install it. Praise God. Glory to God. Or you can get the message from the media stand. Praise God. For free. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 19, our anchor scripture. Let's take our reading. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. Occupy Till I Come, part 4. Okay, verse 12. He said, therefore, Jesus was the one speaking here, a certain nobleman, and I say a nobleman is a royal of high rank, he went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. Glory to God. And to return, and we saw that the nobleman there is talking of Jesus himself, prophetically speaking. And he has a kingdom agenda which even predated and predetermined the creation of the world, the foundation of the world, including the creation of man. God had a kingdom agenda older than even the age of the earth. In fact, he created the earth to be a colony of heaven, and he created the first Adam to be the crown king over the earth realm. He gave him dominion and authority. Praise God. Hallelujah. Before Satan tempted Eve and Adam committed high treason, lost his God giving authority and dominion over the earth realm to Satan. But thank God, Jesus came, and through his redemptive sacrifice, through his substitutionary sacrifice, death and resurrection, he has conquered the devil, and legally he has collected that authority and dominion over the earth. Then he has handed it over to the church. Praise God. And no wonder he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And on the basis of that, he mandated the church, every believer. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. On the basis of that authority, he said, go and reclaim the kingdoms of this world. Go and preach the gospel. Indoctrinate the ethnos and cosmos with the culture and civilization of our heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. Win souls. Disciple them. So Luke 19:12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And guess what? Jesus is coming back again. The second coming of Christ is not a myth. It's not a myth. It's not one cock and bull story. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Like I said, concerning the rapture, it can happen anytime soon. So don't just get ready, live ready. Praise God. Be expectant of the coming of the Master. Verse 13. He called his 10 servants, and we are those servants. We are in kingdom service. We are serving our Master. We are his love slaves. Praise God. He called his 10 servants, and he delivered 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. So he gave us a mandate. He gave us a commission. He gave us an assignment. He gave us a kingdom responsibility. He said, occupy till I come. And then he gave us something with which we will occupy, the means to carry out the assignment. He gave 10 pounds. You can call it capital. Okay? Praise God. A form of empowerment. Occupy till I come. Hallelujah. He gave us his grace. Gave us his wisdom. Gave us the anointing. He gave us his resources. He gave us capital. He said, occupy till I come. Occupy your world. Occupy your sphere of influence. Occupy. Anywhere you find yourself, your school, your institution, your workplace, occupy. Praise God. I say, glory to God. You see, God doesn't want us to allow the devil to be the one occupying the spheres of influence in society. Those 7 mountains of influence we talked about. And currently, those 7 mountains are under demonic influence. Am I communicating? But God said we should occupy them. Hallelujah. And guess what? God will not tell you to do something that he has not given you the ability to perform. You see, he gave them ability, 10 pounds. He then said, occupy. So that means we have the ability to do what he told us to do. Praise God. I say, praise God. He gave us his spirit, the Holy Spirit. He gave us his word. He gave us his grace. You see, we have been empowered to advance and establish the kingdom. Hallelujah. Occupy those 7 mountains of influence. Occupy your sphere of contact, your sphere of influence. Occupy the systems of this world. Currently under the control of the devil. He said, occupy them. Use your God-given authority and power to occupy. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Revelation 17 verse 9. Let me show you something there. Revelation 17 verse 9. Revelation 17 verse 9. In that vision, in which Apostle John saw Mystery Babylon as a woman, you know, seated on a scarlet, a beast like that. And then he said, here is a mind which has wisdom. When the Lord, the angel of the Lord, was explaining the meaning of that vision, he said, the seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman seated. Who is that woman? Mystery Babylon. Now listen, there was a kingdom, there was an earthly kingdom that ruled the whole world called the Babylonian kingdom. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonian kingdom? You read that in the book of Daniel. There was a time that Babylon was world power. But beyond Babylon being a physical kingdom, am I communicating? Babylon is being controlled by a spirit, a demonic spirit, satanic spirit. Am I communicating? So Babylon, it was not just a physical kingdom. Mm-mm. It was a spirit that controlled Babylon. That's why even in the book of Revelation 17 and Revelation chapter 18, Apostle John saw in his vision and he saw Babylon. Remember, the physical kingdom of Babylon was conquered by the Greek Empire. No, sorry, Medo-Persian Empire. You remember that vision that Belshazzar saw? Okay, mene mene teke ofasin. Your kingdom has been divided. It has been given to the Medes and Persians. Daniel interpreted that dream. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. He became the king several years later after Nebuchadnezzar died. But because he desecrated and dishonored God by using those utensils, those cups and all of that, those sacred, consecrated vessels that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple of God when he conquered Jerusalem and carried some people captives, including Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. They carried some vessels from the temple, and now Belshazzar was using it to drink alcoholic drink and wine, and they were celebrating the god of gold, and they went into idolatry. God got angry. That was where judgment, the Bible says, fingers went forth and wrote over and against the wall. Mene mene teke. Your kingdom has been divided, and it has been given to the Medes and Persians. And the Bible said that same night, the Medo-Persian Empire invaded, and Belshazzar was killed, and Babylon was overrun, and Medo-Persian Empire became world power. So that physical kingdom of Babylon, they lost it to the Medo-Persian Empire. They were defeated. So, which one is Babylon again in Revelation? That's to tell you that Babylon is not just a physical kingdom. There is a spiritual dimension to it. There is a demonic, satanic influence. Am I communicating? And it's telling you that that woman sitting on the seven mountain is Mystery Babylon. Can you see that the devil is the one influencing sitting on the seven mountain? Am I communicating? And what are those mountains? We saw them. Number one, those seven mountains of influence in society, those seven mountains that shape culture and civilization in every society or nation. They are mind molders. They are mind control systems. These are mind molders. These are the shapers of culture and civilization in every society. Let's list them. Number one is a mountain of what? Politics. Politics or government. Number two, mountain of what? Economy. Or money, business, name it. Business or money mountain. Praise God. Yeah, Satan is manifesting as mammon. Number three, the mountain of what? Help me now. education. Number 4, media. Mountain of media. Number 5, mountain of what? Arts and entertainment. That's celebration. Praise God. Our generation like this one so much. Mountain of celebration. Pleasure, you know. Number 6, mountain of what? Family. Family is a building block of every society. Number 7, mountain of what? Religion. Now, we saw in Revelation 17:19 that the devil, okay, the devil is the one influencing and controlling these 7 mountains. Mystery Babylon, sitting on them. They're under the controlling influence of demons. And Jesus said, we should occupy. Tell your neighbor, occupy. Now, you need to understand, when God says occupy, these mountains are not empty. The place he's telling you to occupy is not empty. You remember, God promised the children of Israel that is bringing them into the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land in which they will inherit houses they didn't build. House they will inherit wells digged and all of that which they didn't dig. You know, the children of Israel thought that when they come in, they will meet the land empty. But when Moses sent those 12 spies, to their surprise, they went and saw giants in the land. The children of the Anakim. Am I communicating? They are giants in every man's promised land. They are giants already occupying this mountain. Demonic spiritual entities. They are gatekeepers. Am I communicating? But you don't need to be intimidated. We come with higher authority and power. We dislodge and displace them. So it is, possession by displacement. We have to dispossess those rebel holders that are currently occupying these 7 mountains. Am I communicating? Look at the first one, mountain of politics and government. See how Satan is using, you know, is through government, the various arms of government, that laws and policies are being enacted and passed into law. Bills are passed into law. And these policies, these laws, are either for or against the kingdom of God. Do you know one law like this can keep Christians at home? You remember what happened during COVID-19? Can you remember? That's to show you the power of what? The mountain of politics and government. There are countries, there are nations that it is against their law for you to hold Bible in public, not to even talk of preaching. You will be penalized for preaching the gospel. Now, what is Satan using there to hinder the spread of the gospel? What is Satan using to frustrate and to hinder the advancement of God's kingdom? Very simple. It's politics and governance. All he needed to do is to hijack it. And then he will now start legislating antichrist laws, legislating antichrist policies that will frustrate the kingdom. But we are taking over. You see, kingdom politicians must be trained, must be raised, and must be trusted into their area of calling in the marketplace. If God is calling you into politics and governance, obey the call, oh. Sharp, sharp, obey the call. But we must train you well. Because the problem is, we have religious Christians that are into politics and governance, but they've not been schooled in the ways of the kingdom. They don't understand anything kingdom agenda. They are just there for their own belly. And the system ended up swallowing them up. They've been swallowed up by the system. So they are not effective. They are not carrying out kingdom agenda. But not you. I say not you. That's why we are training you. You go there with red eyes. You go there like Daniel. You know, Daniel was not a pastor. Hope you know. Daniel was a politician. He was an excellent administrator with prophetic cutting edge. Are you getting this? In the days of Daniel, they didn't need to consult any soothsayer. They consulted him. Now, many politicians, especially Nigerian politicians, they like consulting all these native doctor, flying to India, consult this, consult false prophet, consult people to check my political career for me. But we need believers that instead of them consulting those diabolic people, they should be consulting you, because they saw the grace of God upon your life. Do you know Daniel was in charge in Babylon? Because of superiority of manifestation of the supernatural wisdom of God, and in terms of interpreting dream, he was number one. In terms of vision and all of that, and revelation, Daniel was number one, to the point that after he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which nobody, not even the astrologers in all the realm, and you know, Nebuchadnezzar's cabinet had wizards, had astrologers, had sorcerers, had all manner, the Chaldeans, the wise men, Otumokpo masters, they are all in his cabinet. Anytime problem arises, he consults them. But this time around, none of them could tell him his dream. He even made it worse. He said, I have dreamt a dream and I forgot the dream. So you will tell me the dream I dreamt but forgot. And then you will now tell me the interpretation. And to make things worse, Nebuchadnezzar said, if you cannot tell me the dream that I dreamt, and I have forgotten, that means you cannot tell me the interpretation. Can you see that? So there was no way they would concoct a lie. If he had just told them the dream, if at least he had remembered and told them the dream, they would have lied to him. Those wise men, those sorcerers and astrologers in his cabinet. But this time around, he made things worse for them. He said, tell me the dream, then I will know you can tell me the interpretation. All of them shouted. He said, oh king. He said, no king has required such a thing from anybody. He said, the answer you seek is not with mortals. It's only with the gods who's dwelling and not with men. Until Daniel, Daniel, he went before the king, because the king got angry and gave a decree. He said, since nobody can give the interpretation, he told his man, he said, kill all the wise men. And Daniel was one of the wise men. He was not aware of what was happening until they were looking for wise men to kill. Daniel asked, what was happening? And then when the person told him, the king's official, Daniel went and requested for time. He said, just give me time. I will give the king the interpretation. And he went and told his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they should desire the mercies of God. And the Bible says, when they interceded with Daniel, that night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel went the following morning and gave the king the dream that he dreamt and he had forgotten, and the interpretation. When Daniel was done, Nebuchadnezzar bowed down and worshipped Daniel. He said, this guy is not a human being. He said, this guy is a god. He even named Daniel after his god. He gave him the name Belteshazzar and made him the master of the magician. He earned the right to lead by competence. He said, you are the master. Daniel is not a magician, no. But he said, this your realm is higher than the other magician. They know how to see, but you can see more than them. They know how to Ashila Bakatai. They have wisdom, but your wisdom is superior to theirs. He said, therefore, I crown you as the chairman of the Native Doctor Society in Babylon. You see, and he was a politician. Daniel was so prophetic that he saw end time event. He even saw the second coming of Christ. You can't teach on end times and eschatology without referencing the book of Daniel. Are you listening? Malaga Bataya. This is a kingdom politician. Look at his prayer life How many Christian politicians are as spiritual as Daniel? Kalito Barakataya. Are you getting me? We need politicians to arise after the order of Daniel, after the order of Joseph. Glory to God that we advance the kingdom, show the superiority of the kingdom we belong, the superiority of the wisdom of God, the superiority of the power of God. Glory to God. We need to take over this mountain because Satan is using it to really frustrate kingdom advancement agenda. Magapatea. Look at how they are persecuting Christians around the world. Why? Because the laws of the land is against Christianity. They are legislating Antichrist laws, passing Antichrist decrees. Am I communicating? The other time, you remember what Satan wanted to do? That they wanted to religious study. What did they even call it? That both Christian religious study and Islamic religious should be put into one. Can you imagine? God punish devil. Are you seeing what the devil is trying to do? Maleko Borakapataya. Embrekete. The other time there was a state in Nigeria, Kaduna State, that the government was saying preachers now should be licensed before they preach. This thing is annoying me now. This thing is annoying. You see, we can't be passive. The people of the other faith, you see the way they take politics as a do or die affair. Even those that are illiterate, they have their transistor radio in the farm. BBC Hausa, they don't miss news. Very current. They are very interested in politics because they know the importance of political power. Some people have said, education is for Western Nigeria. They call it Western education. Business is for his. But politics, Namune, is for naught. There was a state in this country that when, you know, each state, they have their, what do they call it, their slogan, ba? Plateau is home of what? Peace and tourism. What's the one for Abuja? FCT is what? What's the slogan? Unity. And Lagos is what? Center of Excellence. There was a state, Sokoto, yes, a Sokoto state. The initial slogan they had, should I tell you, it will shock you, born to rule. you need to know these people's mindset about politics. It's we that are taking this thing passive. Born to rule. They have to talk to them, oh. Now you say others are born to serve. They have to change it. Then they later change it to seat of the caliphate. Are you getting this point? No, we need to raise kingdom politicians. Honestly, that will be there. Look at, have you not heard of William Wilberforce? How many of you have heard of William Wilberforce? The Christian politician in the parliament that in the UK, Great Britain, that God used to move the notion for the abolition of slave trade. Then when slave trade was the in thing those days, it was a Christian that started fighting it. He started pushing for it, and he was able to convince the whole parliamentarian, the House of, House of Common, House of Lords, they call it, until they abolished slave trade. And guess what? William Wilberforce was a disciple of John Wesley. He was a disciple of the revivalist called John Wesley. Imagine if John Wesley had not trained and discipled him well. Will he have been able to go into politics and then legislate righteous decrees? We need more of those kind of people. Am I communicating? Not those that are going there for money or going there for what they will grab, what they will get, I, me, and myself. No.
You are not going there for your belly. You are going there for kingdom agenda. Am I communicating? To advance and establish the kingdom. Look at economy, the money mountain. Satan is grabbing this one with both hands because he knows that everybody needs money on earth. They need money like they need oxygen. He knows it very well. That's why Satan hide behind money to crave human worship. It manifests as Mammon. Mammon is a Syrian god of money, god of wealth. The Syrians believe that money comes from that god called Mammon. Am I communicating? Mammonas, the love of money. You see how Satan is using it to destroy people. Look at Yahoo boys today. Alabakasaya. Look at ritualists. People sacrificing even their mother to make money. These are as influences of Mammon. Now, there is a correct kingdom way to make clean money. That's why we teach you kingdom finance, kingdom economics. You don't need to follow the ways of the world. You don't need to follow the ways of the Babylonian system. Am I communicating? That is against the principles of God. Satan is sitting. He's the one controlling mountain of economy. The devil did not even delegate this mountain to other demons. So he himself is sitting there because he knows that humanity needs this one. So he makes it hard for them to get it. As a believer, you need to understand there is a warfare over your finances. It's so important because Satan doesn't mind money in the hands of unbelievers, because after all, it is no threat to his kingdom, and he can kill them any day he like. The one that threatens Satan is not even wealth in the hand of a believer that does not understand kingdom agenda. Even when money is in the hand of a believer, as long as the believer doesn't understand kingdom agenda, the devil is not that much threatened. But when money enters the hand of a believer with the understanding of God's kingdom and is on fire, that believer is on course advancing the kingdom, and he understands the role of money, for it is written, my city's true prosperity shall spread abroad. The devil begins to quake. He will fight it. He will do everything possible for that money not to enter the hand of that believer with understanding. But he has failed. I say he has failed. Because money is entering your hand, oh. Serious money, oh. Solomonic order of wealth. Are you getting me? And you will use it to cause damage, irreparable damage to Satan's kingdom. Some of you will build hundreds of churches for God. You will sponsor crusades in thousands. Some of you, one check, you don't sponsor Glory Incense Concert and Crusade. Some of you, one check, you have sponsored avalanche of good news broadcasts, not just on radio, on TV, for the next 3 years. Just one check. Yes, money has to do with agenda. There are some levels of wealth that you will not enter until you make your loyalty clear. Who are you for? God or Satan? It has to be clear. Every billionaire you see on earth, whether on Forbes list or not on Forbes list, because there are some billionaires that are not on Forbes list. They are not on Forbes billionaires list because they can't explain how they got their money. It's not. You know, there are some Nigerian politicians that are billionaires, but how come their name are not on Forbes list? Now stolen money, stolen wealth. They can't account for it. Are you getting the point? Why was Abacha's name not on Forbes billionaire list? Even after he died, they were still recovering billions. Am I communicating? Every billionaire you see is pursuing an agenda with his money. That's the truth. Every billionaire you see is pursuing an agenda for or against the kingdom. The people of the other faith, when you see a wealthy man build a filling station, they will build a mosque together with it. Have you ever seen any of their filling station without a mosque?
But Christian will build filling station, but they cannot build church. You need to understand, there is an agenda. Kalabataya. Terrorist. A mass terror. This one that bomb Israel and look for trouble. Who is sponsoring them? Is it not with money? Can you successfully carry out terroristic? The activities of terrorism. Do you know the kind of weapons they use? The bomb, all manner of those things. Is it not with money they buy it? So they have sponsors. Boko Haram, they have sponsors. ISIS have sponsors. Hamas have sponsors. Am I communicating? Al-Qaeda have sponsors. Every terrorist organization is sponsored by money. See, wealth, money has been weaponized. Money is a weapon. You need to understand this. See, money is a weapon both for the advancement of God's kingdom and even the advancement of Satan's agenda. Satan, both God and Satan need money to advance and establish their agenda on earth. You cannot carry out kingdom agenda without massive wealth. Very important. Glory to God. Ladikobaya Embrekete Rondo Sapalatia. I heard a story. There was a very wealthy, is it Dangote? Dangote, the richest man according to Forbes in Africa, right? In Nigeria and Africa. There was a time that I heard this story that some Christians met him that he should support a church project. Hear what he said. That it should never be heard. It should never be heard that his money went into church project. That it should never be heard. It's like a taboo. That's to tell you that these people have agenda. Wake up, oh. Wake up. Money is a weapon. It has been weaponized. Either to advance God's kingdom or to hinder the advancement of God's kingdom. Am I communicating? Mountain of economy. This is the mountain that feeds and fuels every other mountain. Satan was called the king of Tyre. I think it's in the Ezekiel 28. Is it Ezekiel 28? Yeah. He's called the king of Tyre. And if you study the city of Tyre, it's a commercial center. It's a business hub. Tyre is known for wealth. And in that vision, he started by talking about the physical king of Tyre. Then later, he shifted to the spiritual prince of Tyre. Tyros, ruling that physical kingdom. So anywhere you see money, Satan is interested. Anywhere you see money, Satan is interested. Am I communicating? Magalo sefeleteya. But there are believers rising that will humble Satan with money. See, even the wealth Satan is giving people. Listen, originally, the wealth belongs to God. God said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Satan originally does not own anything. Am I communicating? Even the wealth that Satan is giving people in the occult, Yahoo boys, name it. Even though the wealth is limited, just know that originally all wealth belongs to God. And that God is our Father. No wonder he say all things are yours. We own this world though. Are you getting me? Jesus owns all the wealth in the universe. He owns all the wealth. And we are his children. And when we say wealth transfer, it's not injustice. It's just wealth going back to the hands of the original owners. Are you getting me? Because originally it belongs to our Father. And we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Everything he owns belongs to us. Am I communicating? Kingdom financiers are rising. kingdom millionaires are rising. Kingdom billionaires are rising. That will use their wealth as weapon for rapid and forceful kingdom advancement. In the name of Jesus. Then look at education. The mountain of education. Where people's mindsets are being manipulated by all manner of demonic antichrist philosophies. Am I communicating? Ideologies. Just name it. You see, there are some teachers that Satan have specially recruited to be selling anti-God, anti-Christ ideologies to their students. Am I communicating? Have you not heard of story of some people that were on fire for God in Nigeria, but they were not well grounded? Am I communicating? In their faith. Their faith is not solidified, no deep conviction about God. They were playing religion. They got scholarship, went abroad. The next thing, 5-10 years later, they no longer believe in God. They don't go to church again. You say, what's happening? I forget all those bullshit. You people are not enlightened. You know, there's nothing like God. See, it's just a figment of human imagination. I'm a free thinker. I live my life by Karl Marx philosophy. that's the wonders of what Satan is doing through some demonically anointed teachers, professors, name them, in the educational sector. Listen, if you are a teacher at any level, whether primary, secondary, tertiary level, you should know that you are there to represent kingdom. Am I communicating? You should use your influence to turn many to Christ. Malekobo Sabalatia. When I was in 100 level, we used to have this physics professor. I don't know whether he's still in Unijos. Professor Ike, 100 level Unijos. Is he still there? Good. He will take us in physics. Physics 101. I like that man. After teaching, he will just, in the process of teaching, he will be choking some preaching inside. There's a way he does it. You understand? He will say something about God. He will say something about the gospel, about giving your life to Christ inside his lecture. Inside his lecture. Sometimes at the end, he will even make altar call. We need believers with understanding that you are not just teaching to earn salary. No. You are there to represent the interests of God's kingdom. You are there to occupy that mountain of education for your God and King. Am I communicating? You are there to advance and establish the kingdom there. And you know, teachers have, pupils and students have a lot of honor and respect for their teachers. Yes. Haven't you seen children in primary nursery school? They will come home and even be arguing with you, their parent. If your opinion is contrary to what the teacher said, you will say, it's like this. Say, no, my auntie said. That's to tell you the kind of influence teachers have. Eh? On pupils and students. Why don't you influence them for God? Why don't you use that influence positively to draw them to Christ? We are taking over the mountain of education. We are shattering those antichrist ideologies, philosophies, whatever. It says the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination. Every theory that is antichrist, we pull them down. We pull them down. Antichrist philosophy, we pull them down. Kolebaya. Look at the mountain of media. Hey, this one, if I start talking about it, we'll reach tomorrow. The mountain of media. You know, Satan is called an interesting title. In Ephesians 2 verse 2, he says he's called the prince of the power of the air. Media operate how? Through airwaves. Am I communicating? All those electromagnetic waves, all those things, waves, you know, radio, TV, internet, just name it, Facebook, social media, YouTube, you know, these things are in the air. They are in the air. You just use your device and connect, put data, you are already connected. And the Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Is using media as his tool, powerful tool, to shape mindset, to shape culture and civilization, to tell, you see, media is not just an outlet for dishing out news and information. They themselves can create news and alter narrative. It's easy for media to make you believe something. Are you getting me? If media wants you to believe something, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. You will start believing, except you have a strong conviction that is already solid. Am I communicating? You can easily be swayed. All they need to do, they will just put it everywhere. You go on radio, you'll be hearing it. You turn TV, you'll be seeing it. You enter social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, YouTube, you'll be seeing it. And anything people keep hearing and seeing, anything they keep hearing and seeing, has a way of finding its way into their heart. They will soon start believing. And what they believe, they become. You now see the power of media. This is why advertisement company are making a lot of money. Advert company. Because people know that, you know, once they advertise anything, people keep seeing that thing. Before you know, they will start buying into it. So media can sell any particular narrative. Media can peddle a narrative and sell it to the public, sell it to society, and make people to accept it as reality. So be careful the things you read, online, offline. Be careful the things you hear. That's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Not everything is true. We are in the era of news and fake news. We are in the era of not just information. There is misinformation. There is wrong information. There is information. There is misinformation. There is deformation. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The power of media. We must leverage it to preach the gospel. This is why we went on air with avalanche of good news broadcasts. We are starting with radio. You see, you imagine the lives that have been impacted so far. Imagine if we do more. Imagine how much more lives will be touched and impacted. Even reverends, even pastors, they follow us, they listen to us. Are you getting me? Media is very powerful. The gospel has often spread on the wings of media. Even this Bible we have today, the reason why we have Bible is because of media, print media. Today we have more than print media. We have electronic media. We have social media. We have internet. I believe God gave the wisdom to invent internet to the inventors because he was thinking of the gospel. Am I communicating? God was thinking of the gospel. Because through media, through internet and all of that, you can network the world. The world has become a global village now. The world has become a global village. Let me preach it to your neighbor. Use media power. In any format, whether internet, social media, radio, TV, use every media channel to preach the gospel. Use it to advance and establish the kingdom. Am I communicating? Look at how Satan is using media to wreck people's lives and destiny. See, people dancing, women dancing naked on TikTok, dancing naked, all manner of madness. Am I communicating? Selling lust. Look at pornographic company. You know, it's a multi-billion dollar company. You know, multi-billion dollar company. How are they making their money? It's by selling lust, selling sex, all of that. You know, we live in a society in which sex now has a very high commercial value. There's what we call sex appeal. The world is using it seriously. They use sex appeal. Even advertisement company are using it to sell their product. Imagine somebody wants to market car battery. You will carry a half naked woman in the advert. You see a half naked woman carrying car battery. What is the connection between half naked person with big bum bum and a car battery? It's because they understand that there is what we call sex appeal that catches people's attention. There is this concept called neuro-associative conditioning. Let me teach you something small here. Neuro-associative conditioning. Now watch. Neuro-associative conditioning simply means, if I want to sell, help me with this water. If I want to sell, I want to advertise to you this water, and I'm not sure whether you will like the water or not, or maybe you won't even want to buy the water, but I know that you will like this one. This is sex. Anything that has sex appeal, they know it catches the attention of people. Eh? You understand? You see a lady, she posts picture of herself well dressed, looking like a decent Christian believer. Eh? Highest 100 like. But let that same girl dress half naked and go on social media and give one wicked post. That one we have 1,500 like and comment. Now, I'm trying to show you the kind of world that we are living in. Am I communicating? Now, this person wants to sell water. He knows people may not like the water, but he knows that there is something they like. This one, sex appeal. So, he will combine both in the advert so that the part of your brain that controls pleasure in the amygdala, you understand, and the logical part that control logical reasoning, and you know, by the time emotion overrides sense of reasoning, you know they call it neuro-associative conditioning. You are conditioned to like this one because it is combined with this in the advert, and then you that did not plan to buy water, something has happened to your brain, you will end up buying the water. It's called neuro-associative conditioning. Are you getting me? That's the world we live in, oh. That's the world we live in. Glory to God. You need to wake up and be smarter than the devil. God punish devil. I say God punish devil. Kaletose belekida. Media. Some ladies think that to get husband, you must dress half naked and expose all the place you should not expose. You understand? And advertise your goods and services online through videos, TikTok. See, let me tell you the truth. You can never attract a responsible man that way. You can only attract people that lusted after you, that just want you to satisfy their sexual urges. Am I communicating? And by the time they are done having sex with such, they dump them and keep them aside. Then when they want to marry, they will look for a responsible girl. Praise God. You will never attract a responsible man that way. If you are sitting next to somebody, tell the person, learn to dress decently. You know, the Bible talked about the attire of an harlot. They once asked a prostitute that how do your potential customers recognize you? How do they know you? As in, how do your potential customer? This was an interview. They were asking a prostitute, a lady, how do your potential customer get to recognize you? Do you know the answer she gave? She said, through the way we dress. Through the way we dress. And if you read the book of Proverbs, He talked about a woman with the attire of a prostitute, an harlot. The attire of an harlot. In other words, there is a dressing of an harlot. Am I communicating? Then there is the dressing of daughters of Zion. But the problem is that because of the negative demonic influence from the world, from Satan, the fashion industry, the influence of the negative influence of media in the area of dressing, especially from the Western world, because of the influence, even daughters of Zion, their dressing have been negatively influenced. So today now, you see church ladies in competition with the people of the world for baddest dressing. Ha! You look hot. Slay queen. Slay mama. And even though they are enjoying it, they are happy. All this expression, where did they get it from? Is it in the Bible? Slay queen. I am, you see people, you see they'll post picture and then put, I am slaying for Jesus. Jesus said you should advance his kingdom. Did he say you should slay for him? And that your picture, all the people that saw it have lost it in their heart. Are you getting me? Am I communicating? Stop spreading lust. Glory to God. Don't be the reason why a brother in Christ will go to hell. We'll be lusting in church instead of concentrating on preaching. Praise God. Some people in church during praise and worship, but the kind of mini skirt, as a lady, please, your skirt should not go below your knee. Am I communicating? Sorry. thank you Pastor Simi. Your skirt must go minimum at knee level or below. Your skirt should not go above your knee. Am I communicating? But you know, you Christian ladies know they hear. You see some lady with skirt here, spaghetti, micro, mini skirt. Some of them are even ushers, but not in AGMIO. Are you getting me? Just imagine a brother that gave his life to Christ. He's now coming to church. I now see a lady like that. Now, the ladies way I they see for club. Now, so then to the dress. Oh. Say, this church na club. No difference in dressing. He say, I have Christ in my heart. Say, Christianity is of the heart. It doesn't matter how I look. If I slap you. Listen, which kind of Christ you get in your heart that is not affecting you outwardly? Fake Christianity. Are you getting me? Praise God. During praise and worship, you by the time he said, come on, come on. Ah! The devil is a liar. Let's move on. I thought if I talk about media, I will go rich tomorrow. But thank God for people God is raising. Did you hear the testimony of Temi? You understand? We need kingdom ambassadors. More of them in the media. You have to be very intentional and deliberate about this. Glory to God. Then look at the mountain of arts and entertainment. Hey, the world we live today Fun, pleasure. Comedians are making millions and even serious billions from comedy. Because people are looking for fun. You know, one of the few characteristics of the end time, they say lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And sin is being presented to the world in this mountain of celebration, art and entertainment, as a pleasurable activity. Am I communicating? They now present sin. You know, the Bible in Hebrews 11 talked about Moses, that when he was come to age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's better to suffer in the will of God than to enjoy outside the will of God. Listen, he said he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a what? A season. That's to tell you that sin has pleasure, number one. Number two, the pleasure of sin is only for a season. It's not forever. It doesn't last. It's not durable. Sometimes, I tell people, listen. When Satan is tempting you in the area of committing sexual sin, whether fornication or adultery, sexual immorality, all he presents to you is the pleasure of sex. That's what he tries to present to you. But he will not present to you the consequences. You know, when you want to catch a fish, how many of you have fished before? I used to catch fish. If you throw empty hook into the river, will any fish come around the hook? No. What do you get? A bait. In form of, you used to use earthworm those days. And put, we know that the fish, they like the earthworm. They will come for it. But they don't know that behind the earthworm is a hook that is going to end their life and end their destiny. So that is what Satan does. Now, the way you throw the hook, when the fish sees it inside the water, they are seeing food. Pleasure. Am I communicating? Something that will satisfy their desire. Then they will now come and eat. In the process of eating, you don't catch them. Where will it end? Frying pan. It's a similar principle the devil does. When he comes with temptations, what he presents is a pleasure. It's a pleasure. But he will hide all the consequences. The negative things. Am I communicating? I told you last week, if Joseph had given in to Potiphar's wife, his destiny would have ended. At best, he will end up as a chief. He will short-circuit his destiny. He will never have become prime minister. Am I communicating? Sin has pleasure, but guess what? Sin is not the only thing that has pleasure. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures. For how long? For a moment? For 20 years? For 50 years? Listen, the pleasure in God is more than the pleasure derived from sin. Number two, the pleasure in God does not last for a moment. It lasts forever. But the pleasure of sin is just for a moment. Just sex for how many minutes? 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even if you want to do 1 hour, compare it to what? The things that you have lost. Am I communicating? The damage it will do to your destiny. Satan will never tell you that one. He will never tell you that one. From unwanted pregnancy to sexually transmitted infection. I say, okay, we'll use condom. Will condom stop sexually transmitted demons? Condom go block that one. You don't know they are sexually transmitted demons. They are. They are. You never finish with the one way they worry you. You go carry. You now see the mystery behind the multifaceted spiritual battle some people are fighting. You collect from this one, collect from that one, collect from this one, collect from that. Only you have slept with like 15 different people. You have collected multi-dimensional demons. Think of your future. Anytime you are tempted to sin, think of your destiny. You have to be more loyal to your destiny. Today, sport is like a religion. Football, in Brazil. Hey, in Brazil, football is like a religion. No, even in Europe, am I communicating? Sunday morning, the youths are in stadium. Oh. They are watching football. They are not in church. Why? Pleasure. Am I communicating? Supporting their club. Hey. They derive more pleasure there than in God. We need ambassadors to arise. The fashion industry is under arts and entertainment. The music industry. Music. Look at secular music. Look at the negative impact and influence on society. Look at how it is damaging the lives of people. Selling all manner of things, nudity. You hardly see a secular video without nude content, without sexual content. They cannot shoot video without half naked lady shaking bum bum. All manner of madness, destroying lives. Am I communicating? We need to arise with kingdom music. Zion. Songs of Zion. Hallelujah. We need to change the narrative. Can you remember there was a time this secular hip hop Lady Gaga, there was a time she came, Lady Gaga came for one of her show. Do you know how she dressed? She wore the skin of a live animal, an animal that was skinned, as in with blood, as in they removed the skin of an animal. Am I communicating? That was what she was wearing, with blood dripping, and then she came out for her performance that way. Some part of her body is naked, some part are covered with the skin of that live animal dripping with blood. And as she came out, people were shouting. Some people were falling under the anointing. The demonic anointing, she came. You don't know. Those people, they operate with demons. You don't know. Some people are even fainting. And don't you see, after some of this secular music fiesta, usually watch the effect. They are left with so many rape cases, even right in the venue. Why? Because they have sold lust. Before you know, somebody will rape somebody. Not to talk of the so many sexual immoral activities that will happen. Some of them during that show, some of them after the show. That's to tell you the kind of demonic anointing that the people have been imparted with. Glory to God. You now see why we are holding Glory Incense Concert and Crusade. Satan is trying to promote the worship of self and Satan through hip-hop. Hip-hop, in summary, secular hip-hop, is just what Satan worship, self-worship, and Satan worship. And Satan hides behind self to crave for people, human worship. Am I communicating? There was even one, what's that his name? The husband of Beyonce. What's that his name? Jay-Z. That said, I sold my soul to the devil. In one of his rap lines, I sold my soul to the devil. Yeah, you hear people singing his song. Somebody is telling you that he has sold his soul to the devil. I am still following him. God punish devil. You have to wake up. A lot of them are into cults. Illuminati, Freemason, name it. In exchange for fame and wealth, money, they have sold their soul, covenanted with Satan. They need help. We need to help them. We need to take over this mountain. I've not even mentioned movies. It's under art and entertainment. Movies. Movies. Hi. Horror. Let me pick horror movie. When I was young, I used to watch horror movie, but I stopped too. Then I didn't know the things I knew now. I've stopped. And I noticed that every time I watch a horror movie, and usually it's in the night, after watching it, if I close my eye to sleep, boom, boom, the thing will start playing. Fear! Terror! If I hear door move, boom. You understand? Do you know some people have contacted demons through those horror movies? This is a serious matter. Am I communicating? Not to talk of all those romance movies, you know, is somebody that is married. Now, after the marriage, they even did the marriage in church. Now, the movie is trying to sell a narrative, according to the producer and director, that the person married, and then later, you know, she went on outing. Maybe she was having some issues in her marriage, and then she went on outing and then met her former boyfriend that she was supposed to marry. That is her soulmate. Now he's now making it look as if it's a mistake that she married this her husband, that this is the one she's supposed to marry. So anytime she's with her husband, she's not happy. No. They are already deceiving you. They are selling, they are peddling a narrative. You don't understand the game. Until she got tired of the marriage. Say, no, I don't do again. I have found my soulmate that was lost but found. And one day she came. And he said, I've told my lawyer, we are going to divorce. I'm filing for divorce. Tired of this marriage. And then the so-called soulmate is by her side. See? And then the husband is asking her, is it because of him? He said, yes, it's my soulmate. And you are watching the movie. And now by the time you two you marry, that movie will now start playing. When you begin to have problem with your husband, they challenge you. You don't know Satan attacks marriages. Instead of you to hold hand and deal with that devil that is causing storms in your marriage, you are now, that movie has already given you a mindset. You now think, Kai, maybe this my husband was not God's will. Maybe it's not my soulmate, too. You have been deceived. He wise up. I told you, anytime you are watching a movie, you are being discipled. There's a particular narrative they are trying to sell through that movie. There's an ideology. There's a philosophy. And except you've been grounded in God's word and the ways of the kingdom, it might be difficult not to be deceived. Am I communicating? Glory to God. Glory to God. You watch movie, they will now introduce gay sin. You know, all these people moving trying to make society to accept homosexuality and lesbianism, all this LGBTQIA community and all of that. If I tell you the kind of money they are pumping to push their agenda, you'll be surprised. The LGBT community is just 3% of US population, but I'm telling you, that community, their influence is so strong over 250 million Americans. Very strong influence. They use money They use politics, all manner of things, to get society to buy into their ideology. They sponsor people into politics on the premise that if you go there, you will push our agenda. You now see why some nations legalize homosexuality and gay. It's well planned. They have influencers, they have wealthy people that are using their money. For instance, they can even call people in the Hollywood. You want to do this movie, please introduce gay scene, we'll pay you. They are using money as a weapon to push their agenda. So you now sit down watching interesting epic, all those epic movies that you like. You are sitting watching. What's this? Okay, there are so many epic movies. Now you now see, and the funny part is that those gay scenes, they will look for actors that people like to act them. They will pay the person extra money. The popular actors and actresses that people like, they are the ones they will use for the gay scene. So maybe you like the movie of this particular actor or actress, and to your surprise, the person is acting against sin. Initially, you are angry. Initially, society was repulsive against it. But anything people keep seeing, before you know, from fighting it, they will start tolerating it, tolerance. Then later, from tolerance, it will graduate to acceptance. And that's what is happening. That's what is happening. They put it in movies, put it everywhere. But we need to start producing kingdom movies. We need to start producing kingdom movies that will sell kingdom values, sell kingdom culture. Hallelujah. What of family? Family is the basic building block of every society. To corrupt a society or nation, just corrupt the family. To destroy a community, to destroy a society, to destroy a nation, destroy the family. Every human being came from a family. If you are here, you are not from a family. Whether functional or dysfunctional family, everybody came from a family. There is nobody that dropped from the sky. Am I communicating? That's why Satan hates godly families. He does everything to destroy marriage, to destroy the home. Because he knows that that is where people are raised. Parenting. That is where godly values are inculcated. You have to be intentional. Parents, be very intentional with raising your children. Am I communicating? He said, train up a child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he won't depart from him. A lot of societal heals are traceable to people from dysfunctional family. From armed robbery to prostitution to drugs, gangsterism, all manner of things. What do you think will happen when somebody grew up under the bridge on the street? It's from a broken family. Father and mother are divorced or separated. Nobody cares for them. Right from childhood, the person is hustling. You understand? Eh? Agbero life, street life. Grew up under the bridge, exposed to the adverse condition. Eh? The person has become street smart. Before you know, the person is into one or two form of robbery. See people, say, madam, you see this your bag, eh? Now my bag, oh. Say, now my bag, why forget for your hand? If you shout, let me show you. They will raise their distance. Say, wait till you see. Say, now gone. Say, if you shout, now only one bullet I go pull for your head. Just bring the bag quietly. You see? Dysfunctional family. We need to fight for the family. Do you know that once somebody is raised in a dysfunctional family or is from a broken home, do you know the person, there is a high chance to even have some psychological, psychiatric issue in the future that will even affect their mental health? that person cannot grow up normally. There will be some dysfunctional things. And research have shown that once you are from a dysfunctional home, the chances are high that you too, when you get married, your home will become dysfunctional. Because the things that have been downloaded into your mindset in that dysfunctional home you grew up in, it will soon replay in your own home. And the chances of your marriage breaking is very high, except for divine intervention by the word and spirit of God. Except the word of God comes and renew your mind and change that mindset and eject those wrong cases. Am I communicating? Don't you see that people that grew up in abusive home, in which, okay, father is always beating the mother, they're always fighting. The child grew up so seeing the father beating the mother. Towai, powai, kawai, towai. You don't know. Listen, listen. Something is being downloaded into his mindset. He may be crying, oh, he may not like it, but something has entered him. If he keeps seeing that for a while, do you know when he gets married, those things can threaten his own marriage. Those things will start popping up, except his mind is renewed and that mindset is changed by the word of God. I'm telling you. Maybe small disagreement, the wife cook, maybe pepper too much, salt. You don't do no have also. You want to kill me? Power, power, power. Ah, the cassette have started playing. Then when he is finished, oh darling, I'm so sorry. I don't know what came over me. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. She forgive him today. After 3 days, episode 2, he does it again. There is a mindset that is powering it, that needs to change, that came from the family he grew up in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Religion. Religion is a system of belief in a superior deity. Whether God or anything else, is a system of belief. Now, Satan is using religion seriously. Do you know how many religions are in the world now? The last time I checked, several years ago, they say as far back as 2016 or so, they say there were over 4,200 religions in the world officially. 4,300 or 4,200 religions. And all of them claim to be serving God. Am I communicating? Jesus said, I am the way. I am not a way. What Satan wants people to believe is that there are different ways of reaching God. You understand? Sometimes you watch some show on CNN. You watch some show on TV. You know, they will call somebody, maybe a Catholic priest from the Christian faith. They will call an Islamic imam or Islamic scholar will be there. They will call someone Buddhist monk or something. Another one Hindu. Another one from Judaism. They will now be talking. He say, you see, we don't need to fight each other. There has to be religious peace. You see, all of us are serving the same God, but we are serving in different ways. The Hindu, they serve through cow. You understand? They worship cow. They are actually serving God through the cow. You understand? You know, the Buddhists are also serving God in different ways. You understand? See? Deception. Deception. Christianity is more than a religion. Jesus said, I am the way. Definite article. That means any other way is wrong. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. Except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom. And he cannot enter. When we preach the gospel, we are not telling people to join a religious cult. No. We are telling them to accept God's free gift of salvation. He said there is no any other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Salvation is only in the name of Jesus, not in the name of my father, not in the name of Buddha, not in the name of Confucianists or all this Muhammad and all of that. Salvation is only in the name of Jesus. Am I communicating? Satan have used the veil of religion to blind people to the truth. But we must destroy it. I say we must destroy it. The spirit of religion is very strong. Very strong. The last time I checked, there are over 8 billion. The world's population, 8 billion, 69 million, something, something, thousand. Am I communicating? People on the planet. And out of that, is only 2 point something billion that are Christians. Is it 2.45 billion? Not too sure, but it's 2 point something billion that are Christian, as in Christian religion. Not to talk of the atheists. Then there is even one group called the non-religious. And guess what? Out of these 2.4 billion that they say they belong to Christian religion, I hope you know not all of them are saved. Not all of them are born again. There are even some cults that they added it to. They classed all of us together as Christian religion. Am I communicating? All this Nkanka, religion of what? What do they call it? Light and... you know. Jehovah Witness, John Amo. Different, different. You see that? That mountain. Do you know the Antichrist is going to use this mountain of religion to establish one world religion? Okay, he will use the mountain of politics to establish one world government, the new world order. The new world order that will be implemented by the Antichrist after the rapture of the church. We have one world government, one world economy, one world religion. That's why I say those three are very fundamental. Am I communicating? In which you will make the image of the beast. You see, Satan doesn't care who you worship as long as it's not the living God, as long as it's not the true God. Whether it is stone, or the way you call it traditional African religion, or you call it our people's religion in the village, whatever, Shango or Rumila, name it, as long as it's not the true God. Satan doesn't care who you worship as long as it's not the true God. He uses religion to blindfold people to the truth. Am I communicating? Christianity is not the religion of the white man. Have you not heard people say it? Say, you see, they are trying to deceive you, these white people, with this religion called Christianity. It's white man religion. Oh, you both people's religion. Say, before they came, our forefathers, we have our own religion. You know, my father worshipped this deity. You understand? Before those people came. Now, they have deceived you to accept white man's religion. You have left your African traditional religion. Christianity is not a white man's religion. Are you getting the point? Don't allow anybody to deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Idol worship is devil worship. Those worshipping idol are actually worshipping devils. That's what the Bible says. It's demons that are behind those idols. Am I communicating? Because religion is a system of worship of a superior deity. But we all know the truth. I say we all know the truth. That's why we preach the gospel. We take it to the hinterland. Hallelujah. We have to take over these seven mountains. Glory to God. What was the first strategy we looked at last week? Kingdom dominion and takeover strategy. The first one was what? Consecration. No, sorry. Deep love for God, You must love God more than you love yourself. Love God and His kingdom agenda more than anything and everything else. Seek first His kingdom. Hallelujah. Solomon's exploit began with that phrase, and Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon's downfall began with one phrase in 1 Kings 11, and Solomon began to love other strange women, and his heart was no longer perfect before God, and that was what led to his downfall. Am I communicating? Protect, tell your neighbor, protect your love for God. Don't allow the iniquity that is abounding in this end time to drown your love for God. And walk in love towards your fellow human being. Joseph forgave his brothers despite the fact what they did to him. You must exercise a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Hallelujah. Then we say consecration, like Daniel. Daniel 1:8. You must make up your mind not to be defiled by this world and its system. Refuse to be defiled by sin. Separate yourself from sin, from the contaminating influence of sin, Satan, and the world, and be fully separated, dedicated to God and His kingdom agenda. Hallelujah. We looked at two last week, but next, number three, character and integrity, kingdom dominion and takeover strategy. You must have Christ-like character. You want to dominate your world, you want to take over the system, you must have Christ-like character, and you must have notorious integrity. You must be a man or a woman of integrity. Can you remember the story of Daniel? Daniel was a man of integrity. Joseph, that took over Egypt, that dominated Egypt, was a man of integrity. Daniel, that dominated the kingdom of Babylon, he remained perpetually relevant through four successive different kings and their dispensation. Daniel maintained perpetual relevance. Why? He was a man of notorious, towering integrity. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Look at Daniel 6 from verse 3. Actually, start from verse 3. It says, then this Daniel was preferred above the president and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. The king thought to set him over the whole realm. You see. Then verse 4. The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. How many Christians have this kind of testimony? Imagine your enemies in the workplace, because they are envious of God's favor that is making doors to open for you and you being promoted and being elevated. Because of that, envy and jealousy has brought hatred. They are now looking for how to use fault or offense in the way you discharge your duty or in your work. They want to use it against you. That was what happened to Daniel. The Bible said they found nothing. They could not find anything. He was a man of solid character. He was a man of integrity. He had moral integrity. He had sexual integrity. Am I communicating? He had financial integrity. He was a politician. There was no such charge of embezzlement or misappropriation of fund. Joseph managed Potiphar's house, managed Potiphar's business. Did you ever hear that Potiphar accused him of stealing a dime? He had financial integrity. How many Christian politicians have financial integrity? You say you want to change the system. You have been corrupted by the system. Did they collect bribe? You too, did they collect bribe? Did they collect? Did they settle you? And you say you want to take over the system. Can you take over such system? Rather, you've been victimized. If you must take over a system, you must stand out. You must be different. Do you know everybody, including armed robbers, are looking for people with integrity to give their money to hold for them? Let me ask you a question. If you want to give somebody something valuable, whether money or something to hold for you, will you give somebody that lacks integrity, especially financial integrity, to hold your money for you? No. This is very important. His enemies, Daniel's enemy, could not find any occasion they could use against him because he was a man of integrity. The only place they found was in the worship of his God. Am I communicating? I pray for you. When your enemies are looking for what they can use against you, let the only one they can find be the worship of God. Not that you didn't do your work well, or you were incompetent, or you are always coming late to work, or you failed, you are not this good, or you are not excellent in your service delivery. Am I communicating? Let them find the only thing they can find against you. Let it be the way you worship God, the way you carry this God on your head. It's a good accusation. Not that you they carry women, or you they follow men. You know, there are some people, by the time God start blessing them with money, small money, 10 million, the next thing, they go marry second wife. Am I communicating? Don't be like that. I say, don't be like that. Have moral integrity. Tell your neighbor, have moral integrity. Have sexual integrity. If you are married, stick with your wife or your husband. Be faithful. Fidelity. If you are not married, zip up until you marry. No, don't zip down. Say zip up is wrong because the zip is already down. Don't zip down. Tell your neighbor, don't zip down. Praise God. Verse 4. He said they could find none occasion nor fault as much as he was faithful. Faithfulness is the cornerstone of character. Faithfulness is the cornerstone of character. Be faithful in handling money. Be faithful in handling the very little assignment God commits to you. Be faithful in handling that which is another man's own. Am I communicating? Joseph passed the faithfulness test. He was faithful in handling the very little. He was in charge of Potiphar and his household, and he was very faithful. And God promoted him. He was in charge of the prison. He was faithful. God then said, I have tested you. You passed the faithfulness test. You could handle Potiphar's household and his business enterprise. He was the household manager. You could handle the prison, Egyptian federal prison. He was faithful. He said, therefore, I can trust you. Because he that is faithful in the very little is faithful in much. I can trust you with the whole nation of Egypt. Am I communicating? Faithfulness. He was faithful in handling money. He was faithful in handling that which is another man's own. Faithfulness is a cornerstone of character. Number what now? Next, looking at kingdom dominion and takeover strategies. The next key is your intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. In prayers. In fasting. In study, meditation, and practice of the word. Intimacy with God in prayer, in the word, in worship, in praise. In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, the apostle said, but we will give ourselves continually, not occasionally, to prayer and what? The ministry of the word. Can you shout amen? This is the secret of your strength. Am I communicating? Intimacy with God. This was Daniel's secret. His enemy could not find any fault against him. They now convinced the king. They said the only way, listen, his enemy went and consulted, they did use divination and consulted to find out how to stop Daniel. And guess what? They realized that the secret of Daniel was his intimacy, his fellowship with God, his prayer life. So that was why they went and deceived the king, Darius, to sign a bill into law that for the next 30 days, nobody should pray to anybody, to any other god except the king. Can you imagine? It was an attempt to stop Daniel. And the law of Medes and Persia is an irreversible, irrevocable law. The king signed it, not knowing their plan. The Bible says, read down, Daniel 6 verse 4. Go down. When Daniel heard that the law has been signed, look at verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Then these men were assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. Then they went to report him. Are you seeing this? Not even the law of the Medes and Persians could stop Daniel's prayer life. Am I communicating? Anything that wants to stop your prayer life wants to kill you. Kill that thing before it kills you. Am I communicating? Never be too busy to spend time with God in fellowship. That's where you draw grace. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you. This is the secret. They knew that if they can stop his prayer life, they have finished Daniel. But Daniel was smarter. When he heard it has been signed, he opened his window 3 times a day towards Jerusalem. And then he prayed. Even when there was a law that banned prayer. Some believers today, there is no law banning prayer, yet they are not praying. There was a law banning prayer. Daniel refused to be stopped by the law. And he damned the consequence. They threw him, he was innocent, into the lion's den. But lions don't eat lions. I say lions don't eat lions. Men of prayer, he himself, a man of prayer, is a lion in the realm of the spirit. The Lord sent his angel and shut their mouth. Am I communicating? Prioritize your fellowship with God. This is how we take over. We take over first from the realm of the spirit. You start praying. Daniel's prayer was disturbing the gods of the Medes and Persia. Am I communicating? Daniel was able to dominate Kingdom Babylonia by operating higher spiritual laws of prayer. Malekota, we rule in the place of prayer. You take over a territory first from the realm of the spirit. You want to dominate the 7 mountains. Remember, these mountains are not empty. They are governed by spirits. They are demonic spirits sitting as gatekeepers. You have to arise with your authority in Christ in the place of prayer. You dislodge them. You bow those powers. You shatter barriers. Am I communicating? Takeover begins first in the realm of the spirit. When you prevail in the spirit, you can prevail in the physical. Malekoba Sataya. This is very important. Likobataya, intercessors have to arise. Lia Rosetia, you learn to pray for your family. You learn to pray for families. You learn to pray for community. You intercede for a city. The man that prays for his city, the man, he rules over that city. He leads that city. Because in the realm of the spirit, any area you keep praying and interceding for, you conquer that territory. Am I coming? Your authority is extended to cover. So when you speak as a king, when you make decree, but because you have interceded as a priest, your kingly decree will come to pass. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Am I communicating? In Mark chapter 3 verse 13, Jesus called his disciples, and the Bible says, after he appointed those 12 disciples, You know, he goeth up into a mountain. He first prayed. He did all night prayer in order to discern and align with God's will. And then he called, when he came down from prayer mountain, he called unto him who he willed. And they came unto him. Can you imagine? Jesus chose 12 disciples after he did all night prayer. And yet one of them was a Judas. Imagine if he didn't pray before making that important decision. Maybe you will have had like 11 Judases and one genuine person. Before you make important destiny decisions, spend time in prayer to discern and align with God's will, to generate spiritual power. Am I communicating? So he called them, they came unto him. Verse 14. Watch the sequence. He ordained 12. What's their first job description? That they should be with him. Your number one call is not to go and take over the cosmos or ethnos or the marketplace. Your number one point of call is what? Intimacy with God. Because that is where you connect. You contact the grace. You draw the grace you need. You receive the wisdom you need. The anointing you need. Am I communicating? They are byproduct of deep intimacy, rich fellowship. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me will bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Are you seeing this? The secret of our productivity and result in kingdom service delivery is our intimacy with God. You see, this is how God operates. He will call you to first be with him. He will call you unto intimacy, fellowship. Then he will now choose you and then send you when he has trained you very well. Am I communicating? Many are in a hurry to go and carry out the assignment, but they've not spent time with God enough. Am I communicating? To connect with the grace, to be empowered for the assignment, to draw wisdom. You ordained 12 that they should be with him, then that he might send them forth to preach. So preaching is not the primary assignment, it's secondary. The first one is what? Help me. Intimacy with what? God. Intimacy with God. And then next verse. And then to have power. Even the power, the anointing, is a derivative of what? Our rich fellowship or intimacy with God. Ay, 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 ay. You become a carrier of his presence and power. The anointing, that presence, that power, that glory you need to take over is derived from where? Intimacy with God. He said, ye shall receive power. And you know, it takes power to take over territories. It takes the presence and power of the Spirit to dislodge and dispossess those demons that are occupying those spheres of influence, those seven mountains. They don't just go like that. Somebody must come with a higher power and force them to bow and dislodge and dispossess them. Am I communicating? Spiritual warfare involves power contention, and the lesser power will bow. But where do we derive this power? Somebody say intimacy. It's on the strength of our intimacy with God. He said, who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become plain. He said, rise ye up, go over the river Arnon. I have given to you Sion the Amorite, king of Heshbon and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. And it takes power to win in spiritual warfare. Am I communicating? All of this is derived from what? The place of intimacy. What other thing do we get from intimacy? The wisdom of God is imparted to you. The wisdom of God that gives you the divinely customized takeover strategy is imparted to you as you commune with God. The voice of God will come to you, and the voice of God for direction is the voice of wisdom. The wisdom to take over. This was how Joseph used the wisdom of God to interpret the king's dream, and he took over Egypt. Am I communicating? It was on the strength of his fellowship with God. Daniel too, God gave him wisdom. The wisdom of God Daniel operated with was predicated and outsourced from his intimacy with God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask in prayer. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And you know, wisdom is a takeover strategy. How did Joseph take over the then world power called Egypt? It was by the wisdom of God. Am I communicating? It was the wisdom of God. The same thing. How did Daniel take over Kingdom Babylonia? His prayer, through prayer, he made vital contact with divine wisdom. And in Ephesians 3:10, he says, through the church this end time, the multivariated wisdom of God shall be displayed to the principalities and power. You see, to the intent and now unto the principalities and power in the heavenly places, we will be using the wisdom of God to checkmate all these demons occupying the seven mountains of influence, who arise with a superior power that will checkmate the wisdom of the devil. Am I communicating? Give me this in Amplified. God is displaying his wisdom through the church. As we fellowship with him, as we meditate on the word, as we pray in tongues, wisdom is activated. As you meditate on the word, wisdom is activated. Alakido kabarakatai. As you praise and worship God, wisdom, the takeover wisdom, the takeover strategy. Just like the angel of the Lord gave to Joshua the strategy to conquer Jericho. He was in fellowship. He was in communion. He saw the angel of the Lord. And as he communed with him, the angel gave him the strategy. He said, go round for 7 days and be silent. Don't say anything. Go round once. Those initial 6 days, don't say anything. Then on the seventh day, go round 7 times. And then at the 7th time, let there be a long blast of the trumpet by the priest. And then let the people shout with a great shout. And when they did, the walls of Jericho sank in. How can you explain it? Somebody said the wisdom of God. How will you take over politics, government? Somebody said the wisdom of God. Anytime there was problem in Babylon, they look for Daniel, because he was operating with a higher wisdom. For the purpose, Ephesians 3:10 Amplified, is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God, in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspect, might now be made known to the angelic rulers and the authorities, principalities, powers that are remote controlling these 7 mountains of influence. He said, we are going to educate them. We are going to teach them the wisdom of God. Am I communicating? In the heavenly sphere, can you shout amen? Amen. There is human wisdom. There is divine wisdom. There is demonic wisdom. But we are coming with the highest kind of wisdom, the wisdom of God. Malaya, this was how Solomon took over. By operating the wisdom of God. God gave him wisdom. And all the territories were under tribute to Solomon. Glory to God. What other derivative comes from rich fellowship or intimacy with God? Manda kabaya. Somebody say real Bible faith. Real Bible faith come alive as you fellowship with God in prayers, in fasting, in the word, as you meditate on the word, as you study, meditate, practice the word, as you worship and praise God. The real Bible faith, the faith of God comes alive. Am I communicating? Shale bokosa. And you need faith to take over. You need faith to take over the 7 mountains. I told you those 7 mountains are not empty. There are giants there. There are demonic entities there. There are spiritual entities. How do you deal with them? You have to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. He said, unto which ye were called, and have professed a good profession among many witnesses. Can you shout amen? You've got to put up a fight. Satan will not give up without a fight. But that's why it's called the good fight of faith. You have the advantage. Jesus has given us his authority. He has given us his power. He has given us his word. And faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So you put God's word in your heart. How? Through meditation. You put it in your heart. You put it in your mouth. Ayagabarakatai. And then you use it to fight the good fight of faith. You unleash your faith. Ayapalatiza. You unleash it to shatter every opposition. Hebrews 11:32. He said, time will fail me to talk of Barak, of Gideon. He said, men who through faith, who through faith, not fear, not doubt, not unbelief. Am I communicating? Faith is a kingdom takeover strategy. Takeover is a military term. That's to tell you warfare is involved. Contention is involved. That's why I say we should fight the good fight of faith. Summarizing his life, Paul wrote Timothy. He said, I have fought a good fight. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Make sure you to fight a good fight. You want to take over mountain or politics, government, especially in Nigeria, that is tainted and corrupt and all of that. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. Am I communicating? Any mountain you must take over requires you to fight the good fight of faith. Malakasaya, Hebrews 11:32. Are you getting blessed? It says, fight. Hebrews 11:32. What shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah. These are heroes of faith who did exploits of faith. Of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophet, 33. He said, who through faith? This is how we subdue and take over kingdoms and systems. Who through faith? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of unseen realities. Maliko Bakatai, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouth of lions. This was how Daniel stopped the mouth of lion. It was an operation of the gift of faith. The gift of faith. Where did it come from? It's rich fellowship with God in the place of prayer. It's intimacy. Gave birth to faith. Faith comes alive as you fellowship with God. Next verse. The faith you need to take over the world and its system will come when you spend time with God in prayer, in his word, in meditation, in praise, in worship, in fasting. Am I communicating? Spirituality sponsors faith. As you meditate on the word, the light of revelation will come. And you know, the light of revelation is what fuels faith. And then you build up yourself on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you have to pray in tongues to even access Rhema, to receive Rhema. Faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. But without prayer, you may not hear anything. Am I communicating? So you meditate to receive Rhema. You pray in tongues to receive Rhema. You worship God, you fast to receive Rhema. And when the light of revelation knowledge come, that Rhema come, faith come alive, faith is born. He said, who through faith they quench the violence of fire. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to fly the armies of the alien. Shele Gobasa. He said, women received their dead raised back to life. So, as you fellowship with God, intimacy with God, we bear faith, it will bet the power, the anointing of God's Spirit. It's a secret of grace to take over. And then, what other strategy do you need to take over your world? I've mentioned the wisdom of God, which is a byproduct of intimacy with God. Write this down. Excellence and competence. This one is very important. Somebody say excellence. Daniel 6 verse 3. The Bible says, Daniel was preferred because an excellent spirit. This Daniel was preferred above all the president and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. The king thought to set him over the whole realm. He actually did later. To take over, you must be excellent. Excellence and competence is a very important language. See, you must be extremely good at what you do. See, all these things that believers do, they just do things anyhow. Anything you do anyhow does not have a future. The wisdom of God helps you to be excellent and competent. Go for skill. Sharpen your skill. Hone your skill. Am I communicating? Very important. If Joseph was not excellent or competent, do you think the king's butler would he have suggested him to come and interpret Pharaoh's dream when there was a need? He wouldn't have suggested him. The reason why he was recommended, the king's butler recommended Joseph, was because Joseph was very skillful and excellent in the area of interpreting dream. Do what you do excellently. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, not mere men. Daniel was preferred because an excellent spirit was found in him. Joseph was excellent and competent. They called him to interpret Pharaoh's dream. He didn't just interpret the dream. He went one step further. He proffered a 14-year agroeconomic plan to salvage Egypt, to bail out Egypt, and by extension the whole world from those 7 years of famine. So the greatness and the wealth of Egypt was built upon the wisdom of Joseph. Am I communicating? They even built storehouses as a result of the wisdom of Joseph. He was excellent. Are you good at what you do? That your business, that your work, that your job, are you that competent? Are you among the top 2% in your field? In every field, we have the best and then the rest. In every field, we have what? The best. Category 1. Category 2, the rest. Where do you belong? Tell your neighbor, be the best. Be on top of your game. When you are talking of excellent lawyers, excellent engineers, excellent musician, they should mention your name. The anointing came upon David in 1 Kings chapter 16. The anointing came upon him. But the anointing didn't rest upon nothing. The anointing rested on his skill. Which skill? The skill of playing what? The harp. He was a skillful player. So, watch this. The anointing, after Samuel anointed him to be king, to replace King Saul that disobeyed God. Did you notice that? The anointing rested upon his skill and it opened the door to the palace. When they needed a skillful player to come and play in order to suit King Saul, who was depressed and oppressed by an evil spirit, they recommended who? David. Why did they recommend him? He was skillful. He was excellent. He was competent. Do you want people to recommend you and what you do, your business, your job, your work? Do you want them to recommend you to kings and noble people in high places? Then be competent and be excellent. Am I communicating? If he was not excellent and competent, they would not have recommended him. The anointing can give you favor. Am I communicating? But your lack of skill can spoil the whole thing. They gave you contract to make cake for wedding, someone's wedding, and you went and did what Hausa called dafaduka cake. One side too much salt, another side too much sugar, Another side, the wheat is too much. And that's how you ruin your opportunity. People tested the cake. Ah, who make this kind of cake? Then the celebrant say, you almost spoiled my wedding. Which kind of cake you do? Do you think next time they will recommend you? They say, so close. You so close. One leg is shorter than the other. And you say you're a fashion designer. Listen, if you don't do excellent job, people will not recommend you. Opportunity, and you need the law of recommendation to rise. Somebody must recommend you and what you do. And for them to recommend you, you must be competent and excellent. Go for training. Train up. Training, practice. Up your game. Sharpen your skill. Convert your raw talent and gift into marketable skill. Michael Jackson was rehearsing for 16 hours. Anytime he's preparing for major concert, Michael Jackson, they call him king of hip-hop. He will be practicing for 16 hours. Sleep will clear off his eyes. His doctors have to be injecting him with propofol. Propofol. That is the name of an anesthetic. It's like milk like that. They have to be injecting him with propofol for him to sleep. Because once Michael Jackson has concert, sleep clears up. He doesn't think of sleeping. He'll be practicing 16 hours. And then on the day of the concert, by the time you see him manifesting, the guy will just, You understand? Before you know, people are shouting and clapping. You don't know the hours upon hours of practice. Tell your neighbor, train up. Excellence is a language. It speaks. When people see excellent things, they like it. They go for it. You say you do air dressing saloon. You dey burn people air. Don't give people gorimapa. You think they will come to your shop next time? Be good at what you do. Am I communicating? Anytime they call you, over-deliver. Every time your neighbor over-deliver. That was what Joseph did though. They only called him to interpret Pharaoh's dream. The guy over-delivered. After interpreting the dream, he went one step further to proffer solution to those 7 years of famine. And by the time he was done talking, it was the wisdom of Joseph that invented this savings. He said they should be saving 1/5 of the grain and the produce in the 7 years of abundance. 1/5, 20%. They should build storehouses and put it there. I'm telling you, when he was done, Joseph was just, King Pharaoh was shaking his head. Pharaoh said, Kai, can we find such a man as wise and discreet as it is? He said, that person, because he said Pharaoh should look for a man that will be in charge of the savings of everything. He just gave himself job. Pharaoh said, who can do the job better than you? He said, come and take over. Become the prime minister. Somebody say competence. Somebody say excellence. We are tired of believers that you will recommend them for things and then they will go and spoil everything because of their lack of competence. They are very incompetent. Incompetent. You recommend them for work. They give them the work. Later they sack them. Why? Incompetence. Even you that recommended them, you are now at risk. Because the person will say, why you give me this kind of yeye person? We no sabi work. Am I communicating? Then the last kingdom takeover strategy, and then we pray, is the power of wealth and influence. The power of what? Wealth and influence. Kai, pray in tongues for 1 minute. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. Shabalataya. May God open your eyes to see something now. The power of what? Wealth and influence. Listen, oh. this wicked world we live in, the number one thing they respect is money. Believers cannot take over without massive wealth. Somebody say massive wealth. This is very important. We can't leave this one to the devil. God said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Believers must be very influential in their field. God is looking for people of influence. Refuse to be a failure. Success and greatness are powerful tools for kingdom advancement. Use your success, use the greatness, the influence that comes from them to advance and establish the kingdom. Am I communicating? Your crown of success and greatness are instruments to worship God. They are tools for advancing God's kingdom on earth. Be the best in your field. Be very excellent, exceptional. Be highly competent and skillful at what you do. And then use the influence that you get as a result to lead others to Christ. You know, leadership in one word is what? Influence. So make sure you use your influence to lead people to Christ. You earn the right to lead when you are a person of influence. People emulate successful people. To become the leader in your field, and to be the leader, you must be the best among the rest. Mega success and greatness will influence others into the kingdom. Bishop Oyedepo said, nothing commands mentorship like success. So you can mentor others through the influence that your success brings. Hallelujah. Joseph used his position of influence as prime minister of the then world power to preserve God's people, the children of Israel, and the kingdom of God on earth. Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, he was a honorable counselor. Joseph of Arimathea was a man of influence. He used his influence to preserve the body of Christ, and he supported the cause of the kingdom. Luke 23, 50 to 53. You also see that in John 19, 38 to 42. Men and women of influence are needed to advance, promote, preserve, and defend the gospel and the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 33 to 39, God used Gamaliel, a very erudite scholar, a lawyer, an influential doctor of the law, who also trained and tutored Apostle Paul. God used the influence of Gamaliel to defend the cause of the gospel in the council meeting where they took counsel to slay the apostles. That's Peter and John. Gamaliel arose and defended them because he was a man of influence. Use your God-given influence to propagate, promote, preserve, and defend the cause of the kingdom. After a mighty citywide crusade in Samaria, God needed to direct Philip, after that mighty evangelistic crusade, to reach out with the gospel to only one man of influence. That's the utopian eunuch of great authority in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40, because he was a man of great influence. He was in charge of all he was in custody of all the treasures of the Queen of Ethiopia. That was a very strategic and pivotal role. You see, men of influence, they play a very strategic and pivotal role in kingdom advancement. An entire chapter of the Bible, Acts chapter 10, was devoted to write about the salvation of one man of influence. His name is Cornelius, a Roman centurion of Italian band who resides in Caesarea. Why was an entire chapter written devoted to talk about him and his salvation? Because he was a man of influence, and God needed such people of influence to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Am I communicating? Influence is a powerful tool for kingdom advancement. Become an influencer, a kingdom influencer, media influencer, influencer in your field, in business, in your career, in your job, become an influencer and use the influence for kingdom advancement. Esther used her position of influence as the queen of the Persian Empire, and the Persian Empire was a then world power. She used her position of influence to preserve the Jews, God's covenant people, and defend the cause of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God even needed to use a very influential hidden king, King Cyrus, a man with political and economic power. God used him to build his temple. Isaiah 44 verse 28, Isaiah 45, 13, Isaiah 46, 10 to 11. God needed to use King Cyrus, that had political and economic power, to build his temple. God can even use unbelievers with influence, that have the needed level of influence, people like Pharaoh, to perform his counsel, execute his will, and fulfill certain prophecies. Why was it Pharaoh God gave that dream of 7 years of famine and 7 years of abundance? Why was he Pharaoh? Why didn't God give why didn't God give Jacob? Because he didn't have the influence, the economic power, the political power. Pharaoh was ruling the world. Egypt was world power then, and he had the political and financial might. That was why God gave him that dream. Am I communicating? So that the world can be preserved. Throughout scriptures and throughout history, God has always used people of influence for strategic kingdom advancement and establishment. We must anchor evangelism to people of influence. Refuse to be ordinary. Become very influential. If not for anything, because of the cause of Christ. Zechariah 1:17, Prophet Zechariah proclaimed that God told him, cry yet, saying, my cities shall through prosperity be spread abroad. We need economic empowerment as believers. We must be economically empowered. It's a very powerful tool for rapid and dramatic spread of the gospel. To release the gospel in unmatchable quantity. Wealth is a powerful weapon for advancing and establishing the kingdom. The primary purpose of money in the hands of a believer is to spread the gospel of the kingdom, to establish and advance the gospel. Am I communicating? It's a weapon for kingdom advancement. Listen to this. God wants you to prosper because of his love. But God needs you to prosper because of the gospel, because of his kingdom agenda. Poverty is anti-gospel. Poverty is against God's kingdom agenda. Refuse to be poor. Refuse to be small. Refuse to be a nonentity. The voice of a poor believer or a poor church or a poor preacher will be ignored in this wicked world where money rules and money talks and money is being worshipped. Am I communicating? There is a massive dimension of wealth the church must have to become a voice. I hear about political figure in Nigeria. His philosophy in life, he believes that money will do everything. He believes that what money cannot do, more money will do. That's the kind of world we live in. The world, the number one thing they respect is money. Am I communicating? So believers cannot afford to be left behind. Our Father owns this world and all the wealth. Financial prosperity gives you the necessary and appropriate platform to preach the gospel to a larger and wider audience. It takes money to preach the gospel. Even this avalanche of good news broadcasts, we know how much we are spending just to preach this gospel for people's life to be impacted. Even for this service to hold, you need to know the budget. We are preparing for Glory Incense Concert and Crusade. It's not only English. The budget is over 4 million plus. Am I communicating? And this is something that will reap mighty harvest of souls into the kingdom and impact lives and destiny. So tell your neighbor, refuse to be poor. Money gives you a voice that must be heard and heeded. Ecclesiastes 9:13-16. There is this dimension of evangelism. We call it evangelism by wealth. That is how we will preach this end time. Oh, somebody tell your neighbor, evangelism by wealth. The availability of resources in abundance enhances rapid kingdom advancement, establishment, and takeover operation. Give me Haggai 2:6. Rise to your feet. Haggai 2:6. Haggai 2:6. Rise to your feet. Tell your neighbor, we are taking over. We are dominating mammon. We are dominating money. We are dominating money. For we are taking over. We are dominating mammon for our King Jesus. We are dominating mammon for King Jesus. You know, the highest honor you can do for your king is to conquer another king. Watch this. Is to conquer another king and bring that defeated, conquered king to bow to your king. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Now watch this. We are to dominate and conquer mammon, and then make mammon to be subservient to our own master, King Jesus. Can you shout amen? Amen. Haggai 2:6. He said, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, I will shake the heavens, shake the earth, shake the sea and dry land. This is what is happening this end time. The shakings of the nation is for our benefit. I'm telling you, wealth transfer will happen at a very high speed in an accelerated manner. God is shaking everywhere, shaking. See, this economic global recession is for our benefit. I'm telling you, all the patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you will realize that it was during famine that they rose in wealth and power. So the current economic recession is a setup for your wealth and abundance. It's a setup for you to enjoy the influx of kingdom wealth. Verse 7. He said, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Let me ask you a question. What is the desire of all nations? Talk to me. What is it that all the countries, all the nations of the world are running after? What is the number one thing that they want? It's money. You know, somebody interpreted this verse. They say the desire is Jesus. Nalayo. They are even fighting Jesus. That's why we have to preach the gospel with power to make them accept it. Am I communicating? The desire of all nations is money. There are translations that use treasure. God say he will shake all nations, and the wealth of the nation will come. I will fill this house with glory. And the Hebrew word is kabod, and it means heavy weight. The first time glory appeared in the Bible, it literally meant wealth. Genesis 31:1. Wealth. Am I communicating? You know, those days, wealth is in form of silver and gold and all of that. The thing, when it's much, it's very heavy. And the Hebrew word for glory, kabod, it means heavy, heavy weight. So there is a department of God's glory that is talking about wealth and abundance that the church must walk in. The end time Solomons must arise. Are you listening? There are people that will beat, they will humble Dangote. They will humble Elon Musk. They will humble Jeff Bezos. Are you getting me? Some of you, CNN will come and do interview. They will interview you and your business. Your name will enter Forbes billionaires list. For the sake of the kingdom, oh, not banzastic money. You know banzastic money? Money without kingdom purpose. Am I coming? I'm not talking of materialism here. We are talking of money with a mission. Prosperity with a purpose. That's kingdom advancement and establishment. He said, I will shake all nations. The treasure of all nations will be brought to this temple. I'll fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The treasures, you see that? Verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. And then he said, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. God said the silver is mine. He didn't say it belongs to the devil. All wealth originally belongs to God. If your father owns all the wealth of the world, why should you be poor? Am I communicating? The silver is mine. The earth and its fullness thereof, they belong to God. God is the original Onile. Bishop Oyedepo said there are no landlords anywhere. Everybody met land here. Our father is the original landowner. He's the original Onile. You know, in Lagos, they say Onile, the owner of the land. It's our father. Tell your neighbor, my father owns all the wealth in the world. And the good news is that I'm an heir of God. Tell your neighbor, you are an heir of God and you are a joint heir with Christ. It means everything that belongs to him belongs to you. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. That means we own it jointly. Are you getting this? I want you to lift up your voice. He gave them £10. He said, occupy it till I come. Say, Father, empower me to dominate and take over. Now, this empowerment is in different dimensions. There is spiritual empowerment with the anointing, with the grace, the presence of God. There is mental empowerment with the wisdom of God, with competence, excellence. Then there is economic empowerment with excess money. I want you to lift up your voice. Father, I receive all these dimensions of empowerment in order to dominate my world, in order to take over, in order to rule and reign, in order to take over the seven mountains of influence. Like tose bilaka brandekepa elekoba rakatai. Empower me by your grace. Release fresh grace. Like toba rakataya. Commit into my hands and trust into my hands massive dimension of kingdom wealth and abundance. Commit to me kingdom resources that will be used for your glory. Make sure you are praying. Spiritual empowerment, fresh grace, fresh oil, new dimensions of power. Latakido kopalakatai, regedegedegede. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Psalm 110 from verse 1, until I make thy enemies thy footstool, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of the enemy. It takes power to rule. It takes power. Dominion is practically impossible without power. Kingdom power. He said the kingdom of God is not in word, it is in power. Fresh empowerment. He said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be clothed with power from on high. Lepekete. It takes power to dispossess rebel holders of your inheritance. It takes power to dislodge the illegal occupants in those seven mountains. It takes power to flush out spiritual entities. We come with kingdom authority. Labarando boko sabalataya. Shalabato sebilakata. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power
of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It takes power to extend the kingdom. It takes power to extend the frontiers of the kingdom. It takes power to take over new territories. It takes power to dominate the systems of this world by the authority in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost. We are taking over. We are subduing the systems. We are dislodging diabolic forces. Malebo said, make us to be preferred. The wisdom of God. Shalabababos. Psalm 44 verse 3.
The Bible says they got not the land in possession by their own sword, even though they fought. Neither did their own arm save them. So beyond self-effort, it says, but thy right hand, thy arm, the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. The anointing gives you favor. And you take over by favor. You are going to say, Father, baptize us. Baptize me with this anointing for favor. To take over the land. To take over the seven mountains of influence. To take over the systems of this world. To take over my city, my nation, my territory, my community. The anointing for favor. The Bible says they got not the land by their own sword. Father, let your favor speak loudly for me. Lift up your voice. Just like God gave Joseph favor and wisdom, and he took over Egypt. Let the blessing of the Lord, let it speak favor for me. The takeover favor. Favor to take over the land. Favor to step into our inheritance. The dimension of favor. Leketoko brakatai. That we establish us in our area of calling. That we establish us in our inheritance. To take over the system. To take over the land. To take over Shabakata. Kingdom takeover by divine favor. Divine favor. Favor with God. Favor with man. Unusual dimension of favor. Favor. Palate Zebele. Supernatural favor. Favor with kings and nobles. Favor with potentates. The favor of God, let it open doors for us in exclusive cycles of influence. Let favor speak for us before kings, before nobles. We take over this land by divine favor. We take over the seven mountains by divine favor. We take over the systems of this world by the favor of God. We step into our promised land by divine favor. The hand of the Lord is upon us. In the name of Jesus, all eyes closed, all heads bow. If you are in this place and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you want to accept the free gift of salvation, or perhaps you want to rededicate your life to Him, you want a deeper walk and relationship with God, you want to surrender to Him, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand. Oh yes, what a great opportunity. You want to surrender to your life to Jesus or rededicate your life to Him. You want to hand over everything to Him. Whether you are here or following me online, raise your right hand wherever you are. If you are raising your right hand here, can you meet me in front? Can you meet me in front? Come to the fruit of the cross. Come to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, I want you to say this prayer after me, including those following online. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe you died for my salvation. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart you died for me and you were resurrected after the third day. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.